Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Nodding syndrome affects children between 5 and 15 in Uganda, South Sudan and Tanzania. Dr. Suzanne Gazda is a groundbreaking MS researcher, and when she heard of nodding syndrome, donated her time to Hope for Humans to treat the children and work with their families. When we welcomed Dr. Gazda to Open House, we commenced with what we actually know for sure about nodding syndrome. Is it genetic or perhaps a response to a contamination in the region?
Well, it's such an excellent question. All of them are. Nodding syndrome is a mysterious disease that has been discovered in northern Uganda and South Sudan, also some areas in Tanzania. We know that this is a neurological disease that affects only children, which is baffling, isn't it? The children ages 5, approximately 5 to 15, are the ones that succumb to this illness. We believe that the etiology of the disease, although still not known, is probably related to some sort of environmental influence that the children were exposed to during the long 20-year brutal civil war that went on in northern Uganda. We know that this is not an infectious illness. The CDC and the World Health Organization a few years ago did fairly extensive studies looking for every potential pathogen, and nothing was found to suggest this is a contagious illness. So we don't know if what the trigger was. Still, it's the question that needs to be answered. For it is quite possible, honestly, we do not know at this point because so little research has been done to define the etiology of this problem. We don't know at this point whether or not this illness could have global implications. We don't think that the disease is spreading, although there is controversy on that topic about are there new cases. And the cases that are in South Sudan, no one's been able to follow because of the war that's been going on there since December of 2013. But we've never seen anything. I'm a neurologist. I've been in practice for 25 years, and this is the most horrific neurological disease that I've ever observed. And I think that the implications are, if we don't really discover what the cause is of this problem, it is possible that one day we may see it on our own land.
What are the symptoms, Doctor? What does it look like when a child is afflicted with nodding syndrome?
Well, first of all, realize that these children are born, quote-unquote, normal, whatever normal is. They are developmentally normal. They are have reached their appropriate developmental milestones until they develop this disease. And then what happens is they get seizures. The nodding, so to speak, is a type of seizure where the child nods, their head falls to their chest, such as the term nodding implies. But they are unresponsive during these episodes. The seizures are horrific. They're intractable. They can have 20, 50, sometimes 100 seizures in a day. And second of all, these children become cognitively impaired. They all have to drop out of school. And then thirdly, some of them develop growth retardation, which is very interesting to see a child that is 14 years old that biologically looks like he or she is 6 or 7 years old.
There is so much about this that I find perplexing from the outsider, and no doubt you more so in the field, in that it lies dormant for the first 4 or 5 years of the child's life and then out of nowhere generates.
Yes, that's true. It's really hard to pinpoint the exact onset of the disease, which is why it is also important for continued long-term surveillance, really to observe these children over time. To see really what the course of the disease will be. But you're right, yes, if we could really define early onset and then also some form of treatment, it may offer some hope to the children. When we first met these children, we anticipated that when we went back a year later, they would all be dead. But honestly, the children live a long time. The disease doesn't kill them, unless, of course, they are unfortunate enough to have some sort of trauma-induced event, such as falling into a fire or falling into a river and drowning after having a seizure. But no, it doesn't actually kill them. Some of the families have four or five. We've met families that have had six or seven children that have this illness. And if you think about what we all know as a special needs child, such as kids with autism, if you could imagine how difficult it is to care for one child that has a special needs problem. But imagine the responsibility of the family, the mother, to try to care for six or seven children. This disease is physically, psychologically, and really economically affecting the entire region of northern Uganda.
Doctor, are we talking about entire villages afflicted with this syndrome, or is it sporadic? Will there be a village just with one or two families?
Well, it appears to affect most villages in northern Uganda. There are some areas that have a higher incidence of the disease. But basically, anywhere there were internally displaced camps, of course, now those have been destructured and the people have moved back to the village. Yeah. Anywhere there was war, there are kids with Nodding syndrome. And remember, this is only in northern Uganda. This is a small country, and we say in the U.S. about the size of our state of Oregon, with 32 million people, but there are no Nodding syndrome kids in other parts of this small country.
We mentioned we're not quite sure where it starts and that right now we really don't have a handle on a cure. Is there any way to help parents through that process? And are we seeing children come out the other side of this window of age groups and then spontaneously find health? Or is it too early in the growth phase of the identification of this syndrome to get a handle on what comes after, say, the age of 15?
We've seen through our work with Hope for Humans, we've observed a group of children for the last 2 years. And surprisingly, many of these children, when they come to us, can neither speak. They can barely walk. They are having multiple seizures through the day. We have seen them improve dramatically, almost transform back to normalcy. Although I think the answer to that is so much in question. It depends on how advanced their disease is, when they are being given the attention that they need, and then second of all, just really the environmental factors in play, how well they're taken care of at home, what their nutritional status is. The pillars of care include really close monitoring of their anti-seizure medications, because if you get the seizures to stop, now, from a neurological standpoint, from a brain preservation standpoint, that helps a lot. Second of all, we correct their malnutrition, which seems to play a role in their other neurological problems, i.e. cognitive status. And third, we provide a means of special education. We put them back in an education program to help kind of restore memory, restore function, and really the last thing is we give them lots and lots and lots of love and hope. I've always said without hope, none of us could survive, and most of these children are depressed and have lost all hope of any sort of future and have basically been left to die, abandoned by their country.
Infrastructure in some of these countries is negligible, if non-existent. Is Hope for Humans the only group working in this space? Is there any government support in these regions?
Hope for Humans is the only nonprofit organization on the ground working day-to-day with these children. The government of Uganda has put in place some response a response plan to help address the needs of these children. But honestly, from what we've seen is the response plan is not working well. Access to medication is very, very poor. You're right. Infrastructure is essentially non-existent. The roads in this area are dirt roads. The villagers live, a 3 or 4 hour walk from the healthcare center. And again, with the children being of this status, that is, they can barely walk or talk, I think it is unrealistic to think that they will be able to walk with their mother to the healthcare center. So no, Hope for Humans is the only organization working on the ground. And honestly, we've got so many more children that we would like to try and reach.
What gives you hope?
Well, I've fallen in love with the children, for sure. But I've learned so much. You know, I think in giving, we get so much more in return. And there's a term that the elders taught me in Uganda, and it's called Ubuntu. It means I am because you are. That we are all so interconnected in this world, and that it is truly inspirational to me to see a population of people that is so incredibly resilient, that live on the edge of life and death every day, and yet the smiles on their face, the graciousness of their heart, is overwhelmingly joyful to me. God is so good, and He gives. And we know that these people have their faith, and without that, honestly, I'm not sure really how they would survive.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.